All right. Thank you very much. As I said, I am happy to be here. I am a little nervous. I don't know why, but I am. And so I'm going to just get started. My sneaking of food started when I was a little girl. I probably was, I don't know, 8 maybe. And I remember sneaking into the freezer to sneak some of my mother's homemade goodies that she had put in there. And then I would go take them and hide in the closet so I could eat. So I was literally a closet eater. And throughout my pattern too, I was a closet eater. I didn't want anybody to see me eating. My issues began when I hit puberty. And I was about 20 pounds heavier than my girlfriends were. And I feel safe saying talking about you. Talking about this to you today, because I think most of you have been through the same things that I've been through. I was thinking about that just a little while ago. Anyway, my first job was to work in a drugstore, and wouldn't you know, it was in the contraband aisle area. And one of my responsibilities was to go back into the warehouse and bag contraband. And so I would be back there, putting it in the bag, putting one in my mouth, put some more in the bag, put another one in my mouth. And it went on. And I did gain weight by working at that place. When I think I was probably married. And I remember my mom said to us, I have two sisters and three brothers, but my mom said to my two sisters and me, I'm sorry, you're going to be fighting your weight your whole life because three of your grandparents were short and stocky. So genetically, so you're just going to have to deal with that. Just fight it. Sorry about that. So I tried many, many diets. I tried all the expensive programs. I tried shots. I tried diet pills. I was bulimic for about 5 years. And a hard thing for me was that I knew that no matter how well I did in other areas of my life, no matter how well I decorated my house or how well I dressed my children, how well I served in my church responsibilities, all of those things, people could tell that I wasn't perfect. I had a problem. And so that was really hard for me. And I hated myself. I hated my body and I hated my mind because of my lack of self-control. It was really unhealthy. It was ugly. Well, in 2008, I reached my highest. So back in 2008, I was 5 foot 2. I'm now down to 5 feet, but if, 5 foot 2, and I weighed 237 pounds. I was the same as Oprah. And I was devastated because I was a really big Oprah fan. And she made a big deal about when she got to her highest of 237. So that was a really bad day for me when I got to be the same as her. Let me show you a few pictures that I have. I took them out of the plastic sleeve to maybe help cut the glare. So let's see. Can you see this? And then I've got some more on the back. I don't think I have one specifically of 2008. Okay, now this one, I am at my goal, and those culottes right there, not culottes, capris, are size 26. I could have fit my whole body into one leg, but I'm not in them right there. I was just holding them for a picture, for a friend. And then there is me at my goal. So those are my pictures. So in 2014, I one day I was in my house filling my sugar canister. And after I filled it, I just kind of stood there at the counter. I just looked at it. And I just thought, that's my cocaine. That's my drug of choice. And it controls me more than I control it. By 2014, I had given up on dieting. I was just sick of it. I was disgusted because in all those other times that I had tried diets, occasionally would reach my goal, but I didn't know how to do maintenance. And as soon as I hit my goal, oh good, I can start eating again. And I would just eat and gain all that weight back and gain even more. So that's how that pattern went. But so it was kind of a special thing in 2014 when I recognized that sugar was my cocaine. I just thought, I can't do this. I need help. I need help. And shortly after that, one day I saw a friend who she was crossing the church parking lot, and I said, "Hey, you look great. How did you do it?" That's what we always do, right? We ask, "How did you lose your weight?" Because we're hoping there's some magic way to do it. And so she invited me to go to a See How meeting, and it wasn't a regular meeting. And here in Utah, we are very, very blessed to have face-to-face meetings. I go to three face-to-face meetings a week, and then there are also two other ones too. But anyway, this was an intergroup meeting that she asked me. And she invited me to. So I went to her with that. And I sat there and listened. And I just thought, oh my gosh, these are my people. I hear what they're saying. I resonate, everything they said resonated with me. And I just knew I had to do it. So I became willing to do whatever it took. Afterwards, she steered me to a sponsor. And I got up my nerve and went and asked that lady if she would be my sponsor. And she took me on. She's still my sponsor to this day. I just love her. And I have not looked back. Now, I'm not perfect in the program. Doing my 10th step writing is hard for me. Boy, I want to resist it. But when I do it, I feel so much better. And, I've learned a lot about myself in that program. I've got my notes here. So I was thinking about the miracles that my higher power has done for me. So I am no longer diabetic. I was, well, I guess once you're diabetic, you are diabetic. But mine is controlled with my diet now. I'm not on metformin or any medication or anything. My A1C is about 5.7, I think, right now. So that's exciting for me. I no longer have to use a CPAP machine, and I love that. My knees are better. I am 100 pounds lighter than I used to be. Than you saw in some of these pictures. I no longer have to shop at the plus size stores. I very disrespectfully, to myself and the store, I used to call it the fat lady store. That's where I shopped. And now I don't need to do that anymore. And that's a blessing to me. But my number one benefit, and the number one reason why I wanted to do this, is I wanted to have my self-respect back because I hated myself. It was, you know, when I think back to how I felt about myself, it makes me sad to think the loathing that I had for myself. So, what are some of the benefits of the 12-step program for me? Of course, I've got the seven tools. They help me greatly. And I love to go to my meetings. Two, I love my sponsor and the sponsees that I've had over the years because I've learned a lot from them. They have helped me become a better me, and they've helped me become a better sponsor too. Providing service has been a great motivation for me. I've contemplated over the years, do I stay abstinent so I can serve? Or do I serve so that I'll stay abstinent? It's both. They work together for me. And I'm really grateful. You know, once in a great while, I'll think, oh my gosh, I would love to eat that thing over there. Oh no, I can't do that. If I did that, I couldn't serve. So that is a good motivation for me to keep me abstinent. Okay, practicing the 12 steps helps me in other areas of my life. Just a little background on me. I used to live in Washington State, and my husband and I built a beautiful, it was our dream house. And we lived there for 3.5 years. And then we lost it. And we had to shut down our business because it wasn't sustaining us. And we moved to Utah to be near family. My husband went through really, really deep, dark depression through that. Really dark. And I had to be the strong one. I wasn't in C-How yet, but I had to step up and be the strong one because he just couldn't do it. Well, today, and the only reason I mentioned that just to bring you up with today. Today, my husband has frontotemporal dementia, which affects his behavior. Things he says, he says inappropriate things a lot. And so I am his caregiver, and I have to be very watchful. I've had to really learn to s step back and let him be himself because at first, when he was diagnosed in 2021, I was constantly trying to keep him away from people because I didn't want him to say something inappropriate. And I was practically making myself sick. But I've learned through the 12 steps that I need to let him be him. I'm nearby so that people know, you know, I'm listening, I'm watchful, and we can leave if he says anything inappropriate. But there are honestly many days when I'm exhausted emotionally by being a caregiver. But I have learned to pray for willingness. And I have learned to pray for, you know, help me be kind and gentle with my husband. And so that has, I've had some really sacred experiences with that because I honestly couldn't do this journey without my higher power. He helps me, and I know he helps me. I am very, very aware of it. And one day I had an epiphany about my caregiving and these times of messages and teachings from my higher power. And the thought came to me that I have to practice the principles that I am taught in all of my affairs, not just see how, but in everything. And I do go to caregiver support groups and they help me too. But see how has brought me closer to my higher power. And so therefore it helps me to be a better caregiver. So I will be forever grateful for what I've learned in working the 12 steps. And I am so grateful for being closer to my higher power. And I know that I am definitely not traveling this path by myself. So I am thankful for see how. And I will pass.